You are listening to The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, a radio series interviewing real people living along the Barwon-Darling River system in western New South Wales, outback Australia. The interviews in this series were recorded in April and May 2018, and please stay tuned.
Ross Files was born in Menindee in 1939. He has spent his whole life living and working in Menindee. As a young man, he worked as an excavator on the Menindee Lake scheme and as a station hand at Kinchiga Station. Ross has cancer, along with nine of his direct neighbours, and he attributes his cancer to pollutants in the Darling River. Earthling Studios spoke with Ross at his home on the Darling River at Menindee.
We're trying to get an idea about Menindee as it was. And you've been in Menindee all your life.
Yes, I was born here in 1939.
But I can go back when this river used to be in flood, you know, and then after the floods it'd go away and sometimes it just went into water holes. But those water holes were crystal clear water. You could let your dog swim in it. I was a station hand on Kinchiga Station, which is now the National Park, just here a couple of hundred yards away from where we're talking. And it was a big station, and we used to have to muster cattle and sheep out at shearing time, and muster them out, and when the river was in water holes, you could go down there, boil your quart pot, you know, feed, let your dog have a swim. It was just crystal clear water. Always water there though, always water, and good water. But that changed when cotton started to get grown in the top reaches of the rivers. Like I've said, I've seen this at its best, but I've seen it at its worst. And it is, since cotton, I don't care what people say, cotton has destroyed this river. It is a shame to see it now. It's just sick. It is bad, bad.
So you're concerned about farm runoff and farm chemicals getting into the water?
It is.
But what about the extraction issue?
Well, as you can see from here looking out my window, I live on the top of the bank of this river, and I've got a pump there. I pump straight out of this river. Here, they put it in the newspapers and that, don't use the water. You know, don't use it. That I don't drink it, but, you know, I clean my teeth in it. But out of this water, I got cancer. And I blame this water and the pesticides and the fertilisers that are in the water that's come down from the cotton. The chap that lives there on my right had a big operation for cancer. I'm here, had a massive operation for cancer. Next door, he has had cancer. Just down, next door again, Ronald Schuster was in his 40s, a big strapping young footballer. Cancer, and it killed him. Over the river, straight opposite, she has cancer. Right next door is another chap, cancer. Just up the road, another, say as the crow flies, 200 or 300 yards, a very good old mate of mine, Charlie Ages, got cancer, never even seen the operating table. It took him straight away. That is in a half a mile. There's about 7 or 8 of us alive, still, but 2 deceased, just in that area.
It's like Department of Health would call that a cancer cluster.
All right.
We've got to look into this.
I actually just spoke to one of these water chaps one day that were coming here and that. He said, oh, you'd have a hard time proving that. It was something to do with New South Wales water. I said, it's not a matter of proving it. I said, the evidence is there. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a water meeting that was up here, and this chap was from Water New South Wales. So when he'd finished and we were there talking, and I asked him a few questions, you are now telling us that we have no worries about the quality or the quantity of water that you are sending down here. Oh, he said, no, 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 no way, no way. He said, we don't take responsibility for that. I said, but you're water New South Wales. You know, we've got to believe everything's okay. There's nothing wrong with the water. But straight away, this chap said, no, that comes under water.
Oh, there's DPI water.
Something like that, yeah.
But they use, this is called smoke and mirrors.
Yes, exactly, and a lot of smoke. Yes. I said, I used to see water New South Wales come along here and take samples. And I said, you don't do that no more. No, that's the Department of something. Why do they always pass the buck between the state and the federal people? They are killing this river. They're destroying this river, the Darling River. They are destroying this in the name of cotton. You only have to look and read about the Mississippi and the Aral Sea in Russia and America. It destroyed those rivers. They work on them places now to try and get them to restored back. But though I read a story here not long ago on the Mississippi. They said they work on it 365 days of the year, and maybe, just maybe, in another 80 years they may be able to show some sign of restoring that river. You know, multinational companies own these cotton farms up there. Every politician you hear that speaks on cotton has to be something like the biggest fool that's getting a kickback from these people that are growing cotton. Well, we have a parliament full of them, don't we? Why could they sit back and see the destruction of the Darling River just for the name of cotton that they know has destroyed other countries?
And the drum is that the irrigators and the cotton growers are now going to lobby the federal government and the New South Wales government at Macquarie Street to allow them to take environmental water so that they can secure their crops better.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm just looking at you now and I'm dumbfounded that you're telling me this, you know. How could they even discuss something like that? I've heard our politicians rubbish the Chinese, you know, about being corrupt and fair dinkum, ours would play them on a 10 break, wouldn't they? When it comes to the corruption that goes on. There's got to be something in big money for politicians knowing that they are destroying a river and everyone on that river. When you destroy the river, you destroy all the people on it. They can't hide behind this law that they've got that they cannot be charged for anything they do because they're a politician. They have to be brought to the courts.
But whenever they make a mistake, they make a law to legalise the mistake.
Mistake, exactly. Yeah, and they can pass legislation overnight to do that. And the people on the river, like me, like everyone else, shouldn't have to worry about their health.
What would be your take-home message for, say, somebody in Penrith? What would be your take-home message about the water in the Darling River, in the upper catchment of the Murray-Darling Basin?
Well, like I said, you can't grow cotton in catchment areas and not pollute the river.
You are listening to The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, a radio series interviewing real people living along the Barwon-Darling River system in western New South Wales, outback Australia. The interviews in this series were recorded in April and May 2018, and please stay tuned.
Well, like I said, you can't grow cotton in catchment areas and not pollute the river. The pesticides and the fertilizers that are used in growing cotton, 2,4-D, and it is still used in the growing and in the everyday use in cotton. At the default, it is. They've seen what it did and the cancers it caused in Vietnam. The results are still there. Deformities are still being born. And now we along the river because corrupt politicians that allowed cotton to be grown in the top reaches of our water supply. Well, I don't know.
I know, mate. It's just it's beyond. It is. I tell people, you know, in conversation, mate, this country is being ransacked by international companies and global capital.
Yeah.
They go, what? They don't get
all it. All right, these big companies are in here doing that. But they can't do it without the protection of our corrupt politicians. I can look you straight in the eye and I'll tell you, I got no time for any politician here in this day and age. God, God. There must be a lot of good money in that cotton and in the water they're selling or giving away to the cotton growers. Do you know when they first started growing cotton, when I put that channel around there, there was a, I think he was an environmental something or other. He was down there and we used to have a beer of a night time, you know, sit around the hut. And he told me then, he said, do you know that we'll grow cotton here on Tandao? He said, 20 years we can grow that for. But he said, after we finish growing it, do you know that for 15 years afterwards, you cannot grow an edible crop on that ground after cotton? And he said, and when I say an edible crop, Ross, I mean you cannot put stock on there and feed them off the grass, because he said that contamination will go into that meat. Now, when they sold Tandao just here a while back, and everyone was saying how Barnaby Joyce paid these extravagant amounts of money for the buyback of that water from that cotton farm. You know why? Because it was a done deal. It was just a smother. You know, that smoke and mirror you just told me a while ago. Because government now has dropped it to 5 years before you can eat that stuff that comes off that thing. But it was 15 years when the environmentalist on Tandao Station told me about that you could not eat the stock. Cast your mind back a few years ago to when they sent 2 shiploads of frozen beef across to Japan. And when it got there, they sent it back to Australia, told Australia they have to take it because it was contaminated. And when they did their sums in the lot feed that fed those cattle, do you know what they were feeding them? Cotton stubble. So I'm thinking that the Water Minister Barnaby, there was a lot of thousands of dollars more than what the water was worth that he gave them.
It was actually quite a few tens of millions.
Yes, exactly. Well, I'll tell you why he did it. He knew that that was dud ground, and so he had to tide his mate over. So he said, I'll buy your water back, but instead of giving you $30,000 a meg, I'll give you a few million for it. That'll tide you over.
Now, yesterday you told me a story about a fellow in a canoe who canoed all down the length of the Darling, who was with fisheries. Can you relate that story to us?
His name was Mark Hawser. He was a fisheries inspector here for years. He was a very honest man, in my opinion. We were out on the riverbank and the water was black. I mean black. And he said to me, he said, Ross, I've just come down right from Queensland. And he said, when you get to Bourke and below, do you know there's not a living shrimp or a fish or a yabby in that river? And at that time, the word was out, don't eat anything that comes out of that water. He said, there is not a living thing in that river. He said, I have just came from there and I'm at Menindi and I'm going further down to Wentworth.
Now, was that a natural blackwater event or was it...
No, they let the water go from the dams at the cotton farms, and I think it may have been John Howard at the time. He made a big statement and said that would never ever happen again because, you know, people were up in arms. That was when we should have really and truly said to the politicians, you've got to stop what you're doing now. Because since then, this river has just gone to nothing. It's a sullage drain off the cotton farms. Do you know what a sullage drain is? Now, with all the cotton they're growing up north of here and in the top reaches of this river, you must have a sullage drain. They can't stop it from seeping back into the river from them big holding dams. You can't stop it. Well, that time when I was just telling you, when the fishing inspector told me there was nothing in the river, they were allowed by the government to let that water go down this river. They were allowed, the government said, yes, you can do it. But then they said it would never happen again. Well, now it's happening all the time because the big holding dams and everything with the polluted water in it is seeping back into our river. And this river is now just a sullied drain.
We were speaking with Jack Bennett. He was a councillor on Berkshire for 23 years. He's just turned 90. And he was saying that his submission to the South Australian Royal Commission included evidence that all the ring tanks from Burke right through to Brewarrina are all illegal because they're not lined with clay. They don't meet specifications. The cotton water that's returned to those ring tanks is just going straight into the water table and straight into the river.
It is.
And it's got to be stopped.
Who are we going to get to stop it?
The people have to do this. The politicians only care about profits for big business.
Yeah. And their own pockets.
Well, the slogan was jobs and growth.
Yeah.
How does that apply to Menindi?
We had the biggest grape farms here for years, and everyone made a good living off them until there was no water. All of a sudden, there was no water because they had oversupplied the top irrigators with the water. There was nothing left to come down and wiped them out overnight. They didn't say anything about 12 to 1500 seasonal workers here in this town that went overnight. This is the bastardry that politicians get up to. And it's all in the name of water for cotton and nothing else or no one else.
Do you think that we need a federal royal commission into water allocations in New South Wales?
We must have it. A royal commission into water in New South Wales. We must have it. That one in South Australia is doing their little bit there and I'm proud of what they're doing, but we must have it here. We must have that royal commission into the water and what's happening in the top reaches of our supply. I mean that permanently. We must have that royal commission.
And what about how can people in the suburbs help us with this problem?
I don't know. How am I going to put this? They've got to join with us and as one voice demand that this stops. And it won't stop until we have this royal commission into the controlling bodies of this water. And the people in Sydney and the suburbs, Newcastle, everywhere, you lend your voice to it because this is some of the biggest corruption that has ever been done in this country. The people on this river are dying over it. They are. And it's all in the name of water for the top irrigators, which happen to be cotton. And the pollution off that is coming right down here and destroying us all the way along the river. And, you know, but we must have that Royal Commission.
I think you've said it. Thanks, Mike. Right, that was a really good discussion.
The Darling River and Menindi Lakes are in crisis. We are working hard to bring out and share the personal lived stories and facts surrounding the problem to the people of Australia and around the world. To find out more about issues and matters related to the Darling River, go to the Vanishing River website, www.thevanishingriver.com.au. thevanishingriver.com.au. This is The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling. Interviews with real people affected by ever-diminishing flows along Australia's iconic Darling River. The Vanishing River, Voices from the Darling, is produced by Earthling Studios at Grassy Head, New South Wales. Executive producer, Mark Merritt. Field coordinators and technical assistants by Susie Peake and Kath Eaglesham. Interviews by Mark Merritt and Kath Eaglesham. Voice overs by Sally Hook. Please write to us with your feedback. Post Office Box 30, Stewart's Point, New South Wales, 2441.
The Darling is dying, please take my word.
I don't think they seem to realise that the rivers die. We all virtually are stuffed, aren't we?